lights out, we're underway. Motorsport Republic of Podcast.
T Shavs, we're back in the studio, bro, after a couple of weeks away.
Yeah, it's been a blur the last 3 weeks with Superbikes, Thailand, and then I went to the F1. So it's been pretty incredible, eh?
I can hear it in your voice.
Nah, I'm good, mate. I'm ready to get rock and roll. What are you talking about? I'm ready to rock and roll. Work was tough though today. I'll tell you that for free. Jesus, it was tough today. But we're back. I'm so excited for this year. MotoGP looks like it's gonna be one of those years this year. What's Marquez going to do? We'll talk about that tonight. Let's run through. I'll talk a little bit about my experience at the F1s and what that looks like for Adelaide coming through, because the atmosphere was just out of control.
Yeah.
A few rumors swirling, James, as we always like to talk about.
Yeah, no, it's... MotoGP is just heating up. And we were speaking off camera and just how much we appreciated being away in Thailand and how good it was. It's so good to obviously be back recording here, but... fuck, we had just like a blast over there. And I hope that translated to everyone listening and watching at home.
Yes, we did. We had a blast. Got a little good feedback on our little post-day interviews. What do we do? The little debriefs?
Yeah, debriefs at the end of the day. We've got some more interviews to be released as well, hopefully. So, stay tuned. But minor miracle that we both didn't get sick as well. Absolute minor miracle.
Yeah, the running joke is for me, I get sick. If I go to an interstate, I get sick.
Yeah,
so I don't know what happened. I don't know what happened there. Must have been something in the Chang order that got me through.
Changanistan.
But yeah, guys, it was unbelievable. And there's, obviously, we've got so much excitement this year. And then we're back to Asia at the end of the year. And then we'll be off to a couple of Grand Prix. So, and then the last Phillip Island race for a long, long time, we think. Huge. So it's all happening.
It really is all happening. It's absolutely huge. 2026 couldn't have got started off with a better note. And it's good now reflecting back on Thailand and last week on the racing. I've got a whole lot more thoughts to think about it as well, because it's just such crazy results. Results that I didn't see happening. And results that I expected at the same time. So it's exciting.
Yeah, you're right. It was a real mixture. We thought some people like Vinales was going to be out there. They weren't. Bagnaia probably further up the grid than we thought. We'll debrief today.
Motorheaven.com.au. Thank you to them, as always, our main sponsor for the podcast. They are the greatest. Check them out at motorheaven.com.au. Always got some good stuff going.
Yes, and obviously loving all the love on Instagram and YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts. We appreciate it. Like and subscribe the video on YouTube if you can. And to our Patreonites, we thank you. You are supporters of the channel, number one supporters, so we do appreciate that. If you are looking for extra content, then Motorsport Republica/Patreon, James?
Other way around.
Patreon.com/Motorsport Republica.
Yeah.
All right, beautiful.
Thank you. And then you can get all our secrets.
Yes. Yeah, uncut versions.
Yeah, it is uncut.
We've been talking to Joe Achilles. He goes, I've got to subscribe to your Patreon. He goes, I can't believe there's a more uncut version of you guys. I'm like, what? You haven't heard half of it. What are you talking about?
It could get pretty wild. Some of our Patreon episodes can get very wild, actually.
Yeah. And then we've got a big episode next week as well. So stay tuned for that. Obviously, we've got a preview of Brazil. We're going to run through the track and what we expect to happen that weekend. But tonight, let's run through a few little things. So a bit more of a recap of Thailand as well, James.
Yeah, well, I guess to start off with, it's good to see that everyone got home, because we're in the back of the pit Sunday afternoon. And, it was huge that Marco Bezzecchi and everyone, all Aprilia, were winning, but it was people getting stuck in Bangkok, couldn't fly home. Like, it's been crazy.
It was incredible. We were at Bangkok Airport and we were looking out and there was like 7 or 8 big Emirates A380s just sitting there lined up in an airport, which you never see unless you're in, Dubai.
Yeah.
Or Abu Dhabi or one of those countries. So for us, it was an incredible experience. We were, thank God we got out of there. Could have been the flight from hell.
Yeah.
Or home. You were out like a kite. I was bloody
out like a kite. Like
Kyle as a kite. Yeah. I as a kite, you were. Yeah, and out as a kite. But it was just a fucking 1 hour sleep. It was just
that
shocker.
Brutal.
We went from having a whole row to ourselves on the Thai Airways flight there to just surrounded by who's on the way home.
It was hard. Especially for you, it was hard work. But it was thank fuck we're Australian.
Yeah.
And then we just had to fly like south of the equator.
Yes.
And then don't have to go north because all the Euros and stuff were freaking. And they're normally out of Buriam like Sunday night. They were still all here on Monday chilling because they knew they were just like had to re-divert flights.
Yeah.
Go through Hong Kong or Singapore.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, there was. I mean, I was watching videos of people getting on planes, and we were already home. You know, it's incredible. So, and like I was thinking about the small teams, man. Like we were hanging out with the boys from MLAV Racing. Their budgets are small, and they got to change all their travel plans for the whole team. It would have cost a fortune.
Yeah,
you know, it's just that extra cost that you don't facilitate for the year, and it's going to put a few teams back as well.
Bro, just organizing all that for the year and then like a change. Like just organizing an itinerary for a team for the year, it must be the biggest head fuck.
Yeah.
I just don't know how people do it. No. Especially for those small budget teams where they have to like really work within the budget. I'm sure everyone does, but HRC has got a lot different budget to like, you know, MLAV or whoever, you know?
Yeah, it was... I remember we were on the plane back with Connor... he's good friends with the team manager of MLAV, and they were saying like, I'm just going to stay in Bangkok. It's just cheaper for me just to chill here and just wait it out, I suppose.
Bro, Cheeseburger's still in Bangkok.
Cheesy.
Yeah, you see, he's put up an Instagram story. I think it was today. The dude getting the massage.
Jesus.
In Bangkok.
He'll be chatting their ear off when he...
How good am I? Yeah. How good am I? Have a look at my 2015 race highlights.
Oh, very good, sir. Very good, sir.
Bro, you were at Albert Park F1 over the weekend. Obviously, we're not an F1 pod anymore, but I've hardly even spoken to you. So,
yes.
Obviously, huge weekend in Melbourne for Formula One. Major vibes, I guess, is what everyone's talking about. Adelaide Street Circuit's coming in. Melbourne just went into like meltdown. Your thoughts on the weekend? Obviously, you've been there so many times. Is it still getting bigger? And then what do you see that is going to translate from that to the Adelaide Street Circuit? What's going to work for MotoGP fans? What's not going to work for MotoGP fans?
Well, to put it sort of quick in a quick recap, it doesn't have to be quick, but Phillip Island compared to the F1s is chalk and cheese.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's DJ stages in every area of that track. There's music playing. It is a vibe. It's busy. It's too busy. They should cap the crowd, I think. It's out of control busy, but it was just an amazing weekend. All 4 days were awesome. They do a fucking fantastic job of organizing that event. To get 483,000 people into that park and for everyone to have a good time, I think, is an amazing achievement. There's always going to be the dickheads that complain about this and complain about that. You're going to get that everywhere.
Yeah.
But I'm sitting in the grandstand Saturday afternoon qualifying. Dude, it was just an experience. Like it'd been like being in an AFL footy game. And I have to admit, it's the first time I've sat in probably one of the bigger grandstands. I'm sitting in the center grandstand, which is probably the biggest grandstand, I think, on the track. Because obviously all the way from Jones at the start of the straight comes all the way down to Schumacher on the other side, and it is just the sound coming out of the grandstand was incredible. I'm super excited for Adelaide because there's two things. They are going to take some of that aspect of Albert Park into Adelaide. The party atmosphere was just so cool. We finished the race on Sunday. We went to a little, it's called the Melbourne Precinct in the middle, had a few drinks, and then you hear the DJ stage go on, and they had Rita Ora on Saturday night. They had another DJ Sunday night. Everyone sort of had drinks there, then flocked to the stage. Man, it was a cool event. Really enjoyed it.
I was at the Albert Park about past, you know, 5-6 years, but even from last year, has it got busy? Like, obviously busier again, but have they done more for the show outside of the racing?
Yeah, there's more. There's definitely more. Every area has something.
Yeah.
So remember when we used to walk around the track? It was sort of that middle of the middle of the track had the big.
Yeah.
Big area with the stage. And then they had the motorsport straight where the V8s are now. They were the two big areas, but everywhere is big now. Yeah, everywhere has big screens. Everywhere's got DJs. Everywhere you go on that track's awesome. It has to be like that because otherwise everyone will just flock to those two areas. I think they've also taken some of that Australian Open vibe as well because that was huge this year. They've taken that... all the food stalls are like they got all these famous food stalls from Victoria. Like Charred Burgers was there, yeah. A1 Bakery, Loon Croissants. They're all in that section. They'd be making plenty of money because the lines were just nonstop the whole time. Dude, it's expensive. Like beers, $15. I was saying this to Curtis. One Heineken in a cup is $15 Australian. We were in Thailand a week before. 5 half-liter cans of Chang, $12 Australian. Mm. And you got a Chang bucket and ice with it.
Mm.
So it's just chalk and cheese. But yeah, I probably spent $350 on food and drinks for the 4 days. So I think it's a lot of money after you spend about $800 on a ticket. But yeah.
That's a lot.
Yeah. But dude, it was so much fun. I'm excited now for Adelaide. They're going to turn that race into a festival as long as they get the people.
So what do you think, in your opinion, being there, what do you think they should emulate from Formula One? Let me start with this. What shouldn't they do? Because I'm still well against ticket prices and a $15 beer or a $6.50 can of Coke or whatever it is. Because I'm thinking about, like, okay, it's all good for you. You got a girlfriend or fiance and you don't have kids. But what about the family that has three kids that all want to go and are fans? Because spending $350 over the weekend just for yourself is a lot of fucking money.
It is, yes. It's a very expensive event to go to if you want to eat and drink. I mean, you didn't have to drink 8 beers a day like I did. First of all.
Yeah, okay. You could have got that part out.
You could have gone like, I was hammered on Saturday night, like hammered. You can go without that if you got the kids with you. The ticket prices for me, yes, I spent $790 on my grandstand ticket for 4 days. But, dude, people go to Lady Gaga for a 4-hour concert and spend fucking $400. You're there for 4 days, 4 full days.
That was a Mark Danby comment.
The Lady Gaga's Mark Danby comment, but for me, that's how I felt. People are spending all this money on concert tickets, and it's for one show. Yeah. You're there for 4 hours. You're only there for 4 days, man.
Yeah, yeah.
So for me, the $790, yeah, sounds like a lot of money. I don't think the MotoGP will be that expensive. Obviously, it'll be a 3-day event. I think a grandstand ticket probably has to be tops like 400 for MotoGP.
Roaming grandstands? As in, you can have a Friday in one section, Saturday in another section, and a Sunday. Because I don't like the... Yep. I'm just trying to pick holes in all this because I know what our MotoGP fans are like. And even the videos that we put up of you in the Grand Prix, which is awesome, was a lot of comments being like, it's fucking too showy money, like all that stuff, which is all fair enough. It's valid. And that's where we want to see how... We want to see almost a mixture of Phillip Island and Albert Park, a middle ground in Adelaide, I guess. Because I think as a fan, I don't want to sit in one seat for 3 or 4 days. I want to be able to go from turn 6 to turn 9 to turn 12.
The difference with Adelaide to Phillip Island is you're going to be able to go to a beer garden or a area where they're going to have food and drinks and chill out and have a vibe, music going. You don't have that in Phillip Island.
Correct, yeah.
So for me, I don't mind sitting in the same spot because you can come and go as you like. Phillip Island at the moment, you buy a grandstand ticket, what do you fucking do? You get out, you go to the expo. Same fucking shit. Every year, you go and see the bloody earpieces, you go and see the leather jackets, everyone's walking around looking at the bikes going, what the fuck am I looking at? It's the same shit fucking single year. Yes, you want to take a little bit from Phillip Island, but what do you take from that? Not much. It's got to be a new event and it's got to be an exciting event and it's got to bring young people to the event to go and have fun and enjoy themselves and have a 4-day party. That's just how it is going to be, is now.
I agree.
You know, and that's what a street circuit is. It's a party festival vibe for 4 days, 3 days. It's not going to be anything like Phillip Island.
No, well, Phillip Island's attraction is the track for riders.
Yes, and the camping. There's going to be no camping.
Yeah.
You're not going to have any of those guys with the leather jackets and the fucking chairs and the Jim Beam cans.
Is there no campground there at all?
Won't be any campground.
Is that like confirmed?
Not confirmed, but I don't think there will be.
Yeah, that's actually an interesting point. Did they used to camp at Albert Park? Was there a campground at Albert Park originally?
Never heard of that. No.
Yeah. Okay.
No. I don't think they've got campground facilities at all.
Nah, that's fair. That's an interesting point. Now that I've just like I haven't heard.
Well,
of
Well, they that never had a, like I've never seen a street circuit anywhere in Formula One that's had campgrounds.
Yeah, just different.
It's a different
fan base. Yeah, as well. Yeah. It's much different fan base, which is just now thinking about it. I'm like, yeah, I wonder if there will be a campgrounds because like that makes. It makes sense in Phillip Island and it makes sense in every other track on the MotoGP calendar. There's a campground.
Dude, I'll give you an example. We finish the race on Phillip Island and we see the guys standing around with their cans of drink waiting for the traffic to clear, thinking to ourselves, I couldn't think of anything worse than doing that.
But that's us.
No, stop. But at the F1s, you go back to this, you got the music playing, you got the hot girls everywhere, the SB... You get a drink, you're like, oh, fuck, I just sit down and relax and just watch everyone. This is so cool.
Motorheaven.com.au, Tom Shavy, like family-owned, number one online motorcycle accessories retailer in the country.
James, you got a family-owned business.
Yep.
You got the cheapest prices. Yep. And free shipping over $150. What else do you actually want?
There's actually nothing else you can want. The biggest brands, they are number one. We love them. OGs is a pod. Motorheaven.com.au. Check them out. It is
completely
cool.
Different vibe.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it's so totally different. I couldn't wait till the end of the race to just go back to that area and just chill and get a beer and relax.
Yeah.
If they're $15, they're $15. I'm happy to pay it.
Mm.
You know? And the talent, James. Jesus. It's a bit different than, you know, it's a bit different than the MotoGP. But look, yes, I know there's a lot of disappointed people out there about Phillip Island. I get it. I get it. The real races, the real motorsport fans, I understand that. But the times are just changing. Like, they are.
There's a really good opportunity, though, for MotoGP to not make it like Formula One. It can't be Formula One, and it can't be exactly what you're describing. This is where it's a really good opportunity to have a mixture of both worlds, because it definitely needs that. We've spoken about this before. You know, MotoGP in Australia needs like the DJs and a party atmosphere and a central hub, as you said, but it doesn't. It also needs the flexibility to be able to watch racing, be able to watch the bikes, because you got to remember, the bikes are still the show. The bikes are still the show over everything else. The product of MotoGP is what people are watching it for. Formula One doesn't have the racing traditionally like it does in like MotoGP. Marc Marquez doesn't lap a whole field in Barcelona how Max Verstappen did. I think he lapped all the way up to like fourth place one year. Do you know what I mean? So like, you still got to keep that essence in there. And as motorcycle fans and motorcycle riders, you still need to look after those guys like myself, who is a purist. And I feel like I'm middle grounds where I'm all about going. I'm still happy to go to Adelaide. I'm still happy to have the DJs, but I still need to be able to think like this is still a pure sport. Mm. And the way that how they sell that, I don't know, obviously.
I don't think they're going to.
I agree with you. I agree.
I think the real fan is going to stay home watching on TV. That's the problem.
Well, it's funny. We've spoke to a lot of people in World Superbikes and how many...
That's going
to
be their new event. That'll be World Superbikes will be your event.
It'll be at the Ben staying in fucking Harndorf, the German fucking town.
But like, oh man, I'll do the Superbikes every year, man. That's what I look forward to.
But like, I've lost my fucking chain of thought now. But like, it will be like, it's going to go down that road. But it just has to... I still think they just have to tweak it a bit. And they still... Remember, they still need to get the fan base to go out there. That's not fucking sold yet.
Yeah. And the other thing, what I really enjoyed about the F1 is, yes, I could go there all 4 days without any media access. I mean, we had a shitty little Supercar media pass, but that was fucking shit house. And just enjoy it. Where if you told me, James... And I might cop some hate for this. If you told me, Tom, I've got 3-day grandstand Phillip Island tickets... let's go all 3 days. I'd be like, James, I don't think I want to go. I seriously...
You're going to cop heat for that.
I'm like, just sitting... Like, at Phillip Island, I'm talking about. At Phillip Island, I'm sitting there on the grandstand watching the bikes go past, get off the grandstand, go to the toilet, get a fucking overpriced burger, walk back, sit there. I just don't think I could do that for a whole weekend.
But you got to understand as well, we've also done that for fucking 10, 15 years.
Yeah.
We've sat on turn 12
for
10, 15 years and watched the bikes on no TV screen and watched it. So we've also done that.
That's horrible.
But we fucking loved every minute of it.
We did. But I think once you get the taste of the high life.
It's a different setup. Yeah. It's a different setup.
But for me, if you said to me, Tom, Adelaide is going to be that party atmosphere, I've got 3-day grandstand, let's do it.
Yeah. Bro, I'm agreeing with everything you're saying. I'm just trying to look at it from the purest point of view as well.
Which, because we have a lot of listeners at home. I get that. I get all that. Yeah, I do.
I don't want it to lose its soul and every fuck going in there just... And I know it's going to turn into this, just there for the clout, where it's the new Australian Open, where it's just there for the photo. And I know it's going to turn into that. But, you know, I don't know. Like, if with Formula One, like, it's gone to such another stratosphere. And Formula One traditionally has always been more glamorous. It's always been more glamorous. Albert Park has always been, like, a bit more of a show.
Yeah.
Traditionally, more money. Anyway, and, it's always had more money. So, MotoGP, realistically, should still be that step step lower, I guess you can say.
Well, we were in Thailand. We were talking to the boss at Fox Sports, and I asked him, and I've said this a few times on the podcast, what's the ratings MotoGP versus Formula 1? He said MotoGP gets about 50% of Formula 1, and this was 2 years ago.
Yeah.
I thought, that's a lot more than I thought.
Yeah.
If they got 480,000 people, you know, if they get 240,000 in Adelaide, fucking complete success.
Bro.
240,000.
Here's a question. What is the number for a success? To put a tick through, just a bare minimum number.
150.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, because 120 was peak Phillip Island.
Yeah, Casey Stoner days.
Yeah, I think 150 to make it worth their while. But yeah, I mean, I think... dude, it's just changed my perspective. It really has over the weekend. It was just such a fucking awesome few days.
This is what I was going to say. Sorry. We were speaking to people at World Superbikes and Adelaide news just broke. Remember how mad everyone was in the comments? Rah, rah. Just about every person we spoke to was like, pretty excited for Adelaide. I think I spoke to two people.
I think we single-handedly convinced a few people.
Yeah, I think we did. But I think I spoke to one, maybe two people that said that. Boycotting. We're all going to boycott. Let's all boycott. We're all going to boycott.
That'll last people. A year, they'll be back here.
Yeah, exactly. Even though it's a fucking 6 year contract, whatever it is. But most people were actually optimistic.
Oh, you have to be. You can't change it.
I think optimistic is the word. You can't change it. Mm. I think MotoGP in this country and in a lot of circuits needs that party atmosphere and needs that vibe. We have to, you know, go in there with open minds, and we will. I think a lot of people will, and I think it's going to change a lot of people's opinion. The only gripe I have with like Albert Park and Formula One now is going into a ballot to get a fucking grandstand ticket. You can't have a roaming grandstand ticket pass, so you can't go to four different fucking, because there's too many people. Like it's oversaturated. There's too many people. That's the main two things I just don't like about it. Everything else, the event is great. But as just like a purist person, I'm just trying to think of like a young family. That's all I'm trying to think of. It's like a young family that just like really wants to go and they can't get grandstand tickets where they couldn't fill a pond or whatever it is. That's just all I'm just trying to say where it's so fucking expensive. $800 a ticket. I was like, fuck that. I'm not spending that. Like, but clearly the product for Formula One is there where they can do it.
It works.
Mm. It will be interesting to see if MotoGP gets to that level. I don't think it will. Which is a good thing.
And the weather. I mean, we had four just spectacular days of weather. And again, going back to my point about sitting in Phillip Island for 3 days in a grandstand with... It's going to rain.
At one point, yeah. Especially in Siberia.
It's raining, okay? So there's no... 26 and sunny, it says on the forecast. It's raining at some point. It's another major thing.
Well, the irony of all this is you were in Albert Park the whole weekend. I was in Phillip Island.
Well, the weather would have been good, probably.
I went for a few runs.
Yep.
And I left the house in sunshine, ran into rain, and then came back in sunshine. So the irony of just how like our two conversations is very funny. I did drive past the track and shed a little tear.
Well, we're going to make it the biggest and the best ever this year. We'll be down for the whole week.
Fuck yeah.
And it's going to be massive.
It's going to be next level.
Yeah, it'll be next level. Oh, bro, Sunday night at the after party, that's going to be we'll be in tears. But at the end of the day, it's progress, isn't it? It's just going to be, they just haven't done enough down there to do it, to make it an event. And it's hard because it's so far away from the city. I get it. It's hard.
Totally get it. And then we go to a place like Thailand, man. And just, when people say to, if you're thinking about going to Thailand, and we heard this so many times, there's nothing to do there. Nothing to do in Buriram. It's no fun. It's the biggest lie. Buriram, the city, is fucking awesome. We went to the track. It was so much fun there. If you like having a bit of a party, drinking some beers, going out to heaps of different restaurants, heaps of different bars there. Obviously, it's built up the city since when World Superbikes went there 10 years ago, whatever it was. But it's a fantastic place to watch Grand Prix racing. You see most of the track. I really recommend if you are looking to go to an overseas track and you're in Australia, Thailand is definitely a fun one.
And with
on-track
experiences, of course.
On-track experiences. Connor, the man that gets things done, he knows people.
He does. He's and if you're looking to go to Sepang, he's going to have a big crew. We're going to have a big crew for Sepang.
Yeah.
With on-track experiences. So, obviously, you've got the beautiful hospitality packages. I think for me, it's just, it's changed my opinion a lot, James. And I'm more excited for Adelaide now.
Yeah,
more
good.
Excited. And I think they're going to put on an awesome event. It's like you look at the Live Golf over there. Everyone has an awesome weekend. Everyone loves that event. Again, 4-day event. And you'd ask them on Sunday night, who won the golf? They wouldn't fucking know. They wouldn't tell you.
Yeah.
They don't know, James.
Yeah, yeah.
Because if you're going to spend all that money and go there, yeah, the cars are the show, but it's realistically the fun of the event. It's like going to a concert. I get it. It's, you're going and go to see fucking Taylor Swift or Delta Goodrum or whatever you like, but you know, you're there to have fun as well.
Yeah.
So the cars, though, going back to your point, the cars were definitely still the show. Bro, when the qualifying was on, everyone was glued to the racetrack. Everyone, the grandstand was absolutely chockers on Saturday afternoon and Sunday. You're right about free practice. You messaged me and said, oh, the grandstands weren't that few. That's why everyone was out having fun, drinking.
Yeah, that was surprising.
And then as soon as qualifying started, there was not a spare seat in that grandstand.
Well, I only said that because a few years ago, we were there and like we were there for practice. And the grandstands are fucking chock-a-block. Every time a car went around, it was chock-a-block. There's I saw FP3.
Yeah.
And they were like 3/4 full maybe, something like half full. And yeah. I was just really surprised. Put on qualifying, not a spare seat.
It's just chockers. And I went out. It's funny, a lot of people just come for the race as well. Like on Sunday, I went out to get my missus and her mum to bring them in at about 1 o'clock. Mm. And there's a lot of people coming off the trams and trains to come in to watch the race. So yeah. I think a lot of people just come. They couldn't care less about F2 and F3, which were awesomely exciting as well. V8 Supercars was great to watch. That was a spectacle in itself, to be honest. I mean, it's a crazy event. You know what's funny about V8s? They pretty much take control of Thursday. They have all their practice and qualifying, blah, blah. They're not on the track till like 5:30 PM on the Friday. They're still going to stand around all day.
Yeah, it's like fucking Australian Superbikes and MotoGP back in the day. Yeah. They're on at 8 AM and it's like 7:30 PM.
I was talking to some of the guys and they're like, "Yeah, this sucks. Like, we have to be here because appearances."
Yeah.
Renita and you'll be caught up with and didn't. She goes, "Yeah, they just sit around because they got to do like interviews and stuff. They just can't do anything."
Fuck,
so,
CBF.
Yeah, but it's just how it is.
Good for the sponsors, I guess.
Yeah.
Interesting, bro. It's interesting chat.
It is. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's just like a funny old time and it's kind of all come around at the same time. So, look, I'm sure more will come out about Adelaide and their plans. I'm not worried that they're not going to put on a bad event at all. Like, I think it's going to be a fucking spectacular event that they're going to do. I really, really, really do. I think Adelaide do a great job in so many different avenues. It's just going to be interesting to see how it looks like in the sixth year of their contract. Compared to their first.
Yeah. And look, the purists of the sport, the Gary and the Barry sitting on the armchair, it's just the time's up.
Well, times are changing. Everything changes. We understand that.
We're Baz and Gaz, we feel bad for them. But at the end of the day, it's a business. They want to make money. The young female audience is where the money is to be made. Yeah, as young. We saw on the weekend. It's just, James, it is a fucking fashion show there, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it is just a vast variety of people you see. It's just incredible. Like, people watching was just out of control.
Good. Yeah. Well, that's good. Like, it's interesting. And like, you know, Europe's obviously a younger audience as well, to a degree. There's still a major older audience, especially I think in the hospitality areas or whatever. But, yeah, it's good. It's just, I guess for like Australia, America, Canada and all those countries, it's where it's
They had 20,000 people in hospitality on Sunday, one day. So they would have had probably, I'm going to say, 50,000 for the 4 days.
Mm.
In hospitality, we got 90,000 for the whole MotoGP.
Yeah.
Like, the difference is just astronomical.
Mm.
They had 50,000 people can fit into grandstands in Elwood Park and another 20,000 hospitality. That's a big number.
Yeah.
20,000 hospitality patrons. I'm going to say half of them have probably paid for their spot and half of them is all sponsored giveaways. But that's the other thing. It's just the money that can be made in that segment, which is just not made. Yeah, I mean, they fill up the Ducati, they fill up Lukey Heights, they fill up at the top, but, you know, they might have 4,000 hospitality for the wild.
Yeah.
20,000. Amazing.
So. Even in Europe, they do it so much better. Obviously, speaking to Connor from On Track Experiences, like how the teams and everyone, like you can go in with teams and like they provide like food, drinks, alcohol. It's actually fucking incredible how they do it. Like,
yeah. Like that's a new Europe, world we have never realized about.
Never really seen. And obviously, we've been speaking to the guys there from On Track and obviously, like, we keep talking about them, but they are, like, it is, it's such a cool thing. I didn't realize you can be in with a team.
Every team has a hospitality truck, a full fucking setup truck in Europe.
Yeah, like, just not their race truck. Yeah, hospitality
truck. MLAV Racing are one of the smaller Moto3 teams. They've got a full hospitality truck.
Yeah.
Like, that's just mind-boggling. Yeah. It pops out. It's got, like, tables and chairs in there.
Yeah. Person just, like, dedicated to work on that. Yeah, like, it's crazy. Incredible.
So, yeah, amazing. Amazing.
Anyway, I guess that's that was a big chat about.
Yes.
All hot and heavy.
Yeah,
it is. It's interesting. It is. I wish I could look into the future. I really
do. Yeah, you'd be a very rich man if you could, but it's we'll just have to wait and see.
MotoGP talk, Tom Chavalier, Marc Marquez, rumours swirling around is putting some contracts on hold with Ducati. One race, come on, man.
I know, but there's rumours are swirling, James, that a retirement is in talks, which I'm hearing. Mm. And which, you know, it's hard to believe. And there's no way that, you know, this is an official call or anything like that, but when there's smoke, there's fire, we talk.
Yeah.
But it'd be hard to see that happening. But yeah, a week ago, we're sitting there, oh, it's going to be a 2-year deal, 100%. And then a week later, oh, there's talk it might be his last year. Who knows?
Look, who knows? That's the crazy thing of MotoGP's. Fucking shit changes so quickly.
But why is he put on hold?
Maybe it's a shoulder thing. Maybe it's a Ducati thing. I don't know. I don't know. Like, is it?
Well, if a Ducati works in Brazil, he's going to sign a 2-year deal. That doesn't make sense.
1-year deal. Yeah. Maybe he wants a 1-year deal and then he just susses it out. Because I thought it was surprising when he said a 2-year deal. Yeah. I thought it was very surprising because it's, you know, 1-year deal makes sense. It goes into the new regulations, see who's fast, and then he can just pick his spot.
But maybe Ducati probably want a 2-year out of him.
Fuck yeah, but it's Marc Marquez. He can control the shots.
He is the contract.
Yeah, yeah. Like, it doesn't matter what they say. Yeah.
Blank check.
Yeah, legit. Yeah. Basically. It's getting him going. Blank check is getting him going. Where, unfortunately, if you're fucking Diego Moreira, you just get given what you're given. Yeah. You know? You're not proven. Marc Marquez is the most proven rider out there almost ever. So, I think he would be smart if he just did a 1-year deal. I really do.
Yeah, I think it would be smart. Maybe it's the... look, it's just... we just don't know. Like, there's
been
no
one race.
Yeah, it's been one race. We just don't know. And that's obviously swirling. He seems to be the one, like... obviously, they've signed Pedro Acosta, which I think is a great...
well, yeah.
Allegedly. I think it's a great thing for the future for them. They're set up now. Like, Ducati are set up. You know, if they had Bagnaia signed and then a shock retirement from Marquez, obviously, they could probably pick any rider they wanted. But have him, the young gun, signed, it's future looks good for Ducati.
Yeah, it's probably always going to look good to a degree. Someone said it over the weekend that... it's the first time Marc's looked human in a long time.
Yeah.
You know, which is very true. Now, it's a long season, bro. Ducati can pull that shit together. Maybe Marc's shoulder really is that banged up and he still has to work through it. Like, it's you can't... it was a Aprilia domination. Like, we all understand it was a Aprilia domination. But, man, shit can change during a year. But it's a funny old year because... as we've spoken to Massimo Rivola, they've got one eye on 1,000 and two eyes on the 850cc.
Which eyes?
Make that make sense. Yeah. But you know what I mean?
Yeah, I've got... it was interesting looking back at the results for Aprilia in 2025 in Buriram. Yeah. And look, Bezzecchi, like, I was thinking, how's Aprilia gone so well when they went so bad the year before? They actually didn't. Bezzecchi went back both starts, sprint race and main race. He went back back of the pack. Two terrible starts. Came back, finished in the top 10. Obviously, Aiguru finished 5th.
Yeah.
So, the bike did still look good around that track. We have to remember that. It wasn't like they were like last, second last, and they've changed it all around. We have to wait and see the next couple of races.
I've got obviously the results here from Thailand. I'm not going to go through them all again. But what we wanted to do was just kind of speak about pick out a few riders and see... you know, is this a surprise? Like, where do we kind of see, like... okay, Marco Bezzecchi, right? We know he's going to be fast all year. He's going to have his off... I think he's still going to have off races, but... do I... like, he's going to be a championship contender all year. It's just how it's going to be.
Yeah, I mean, looking back at the races, man, he was by far the fastest rider from Mandalika onwards.
Yes.
Until now.
you know.
Yeah.
He hasn't been touched. I mean, Raul Fernandez obviously won Phillip Island, but Bezecchi had his...
A double long lap or whatever it was. From Mandalika. Yeah.
So, for me, it's... he's just, yeah, started off where he left off last year. But, yeah, Marquez is going to be the big one. As I said, one-on-one battles last year. But Marquez came out first every single time. So, once Marquez, another week on that bike... it's probably the three week break's probably done him so good as well, you know. So, but we'll talk about Brazil more next week.
Yeah, in our preview show.
Yep.
Another one for me is Pedro Acosta, and where KTM's at, because
leading the championship,
first time KTM's ever led the MotoGP World Championship, which is awesome to see. Great to see, you know, Aprilia winning races, KTM winning races, different names on top of the podium. Like, it's what we want to see. Yep. But you know. Round one is just—it's so hard to dissect and the look into the future, and it's even harder because we're going to Brazil, which is a new track.
New track,
you know. So it's just going to throw.
We'll still be none the wiser.
We're still going to be none the wiser. Yeah. You know, maybe if all Aprilias are up in the top five again, okay, we're like, fuck, Aprilia's on. You know what I mean?
Good for the rookies as well. Like, good for the Moreras and even Aiguras second year, because we're going to a track that no one's been there before, and it really separates the talent. And I think it's like when it rains, you can still really see the talent come out of these riders. So FP1, Brazil, it's going to be really interesting.
Do you think that Pedro Acosta, after Thailand's performance, is winning a Grand Prix now this year?
Yes. He has to, doesn't he?
Yeah.
He has to.
Yeah.
I think so. I think he has to. I mean, he won the sprint race. It's his first race win, you know, on a MotoGP bike, so one step closer.
It's interesting, isn't it? I've had him penciled in, I think, in our preview show for him to win a race, but to be so quick and so consistent over the weekend for me was such a surprise for Pedro. It really was. And, you know, for KTM, bro, Brad Binder, seventh. Like, again, 17 seconds off the pace is a long time, but we also know there was so much tire wear. Everyone was limping to the line at the end. It's just such a hard one to dissect. Now, for me, someone like Jorge Martin finished fourth, Tom.
Amazing.
Bro, where did we... Like, did you...
I caught it.
Get fucked. No one, I don't think, saw that coming. But I don't think Jorge Martin saw that coming.
But he will win races. And he will win races sooner rather than later. I'm telling you right now. First race back, finishing fourth. Finished fourth in Hungary as well after coming back. We cannot sleep on how amazing that performance is.
Yeah.
Like, he's had interrupted testing. Everyone else has been on this bike for more than 12 months, more than him. And he comes out and finishes fourth. Now,
Hungary, fucking, new track.
How good is this Aprilia? That shows you how good it is.
Yeah.
Because he's still up there. It shows you Raul Fernandez is up there. And Aiguera, they all finished in the top five. That bike is a jet this year.
Oh, yeah. As Pecco Bagnaia said, it's the best bike on the grid.
It could be the fastest MotoGP bike in history. Massimo Ravolla.
It could be. But I remember thinking in 2006, bikes can't get faster.
Yeah.
And they're like the same speed as a fucking Moto2 bike.
I pulled that out of my ass when we were talking to... Who were we talking to? It's either Ravolla or Boy Soy. Had 2008 bikes. They thought they were going to be so much slower. And then a year later, they were back to the same pace. How quick these engineers can... Which is actually a fact.
Yeah.
But absolutely pulled out of my ass. So.
That was smart.
All right, let's jump on hot takes, Jimmy boy. We'll continue that chat on Extra Chat.
All right, I like it. T Shavs, let's get this fucking going, big dog. Give me one second. At Brisky, Ducati won't win a race until they get to Europe, Tom.
Ducati won't win a race. Hot take, and I'll take that.
Marc Marquez ain't winning till Europe.
So what do we got? We've only got two. We've got Brazil and Cota, and then Jerez.
Yeah, because Qatar's gonna be
Qatar's gone. Yeah, so
not official yet, but we all know there's fucking bombs.
Well, Bahrain has been almost officially cancelled for F1. They're gonna probably continue with the Jeddah race, but it's the Jeddah is far away enough from the conflict.
Is Saudi Arabia not affected?
It's not. It doesn't have a no-fly list like the other countries do.
Oh, okay.
So the other countries are, do not come here. We cannot accept any tourists, anything like that. Where Jeddah's on a less of a warning.
Bro. I'm paraphrasing here, but
yeah. Yeah, I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
This is for our World Economics Republica. But such crazy scenes because, like, for F1 especially, like, huge races. They're massive races.
Well, I think Qatar may get rescheduled to a week before Portimao.
I heard November.
Yeah. So they're going to do a triple race, triple header.
Yeah, but that's all fucking if everything calms down, which I just don't see it happening at all.
Mm.
But, you know, I don't know what the fuck all that.
Well, that's true. I mean, we've booked our flights through. We're stopping over at Dubai for Portimao. Oh shit! We got them cheap though, eh, Connor? Con dogs.
Stewie.
Stewie.
What do we got? Nah, Coda. Mark will win at Coda. Ducati. Yeah,
mark my words, pardon
the pun. And he didn't last year, that's for sure.
James Shaw.
MDub93, MotoGP/OzX Open, same weekend, Adelaide GP, Lawrence Boys, Tomac, and all those. To the show.
I like it. Yeah.
I don't know how to fucking fit all those people into everything, but it's cool. I like it.
Yeah.
They're all mates.
Yeah, that would be cool. And obviously, like, you got, you know, Senna Aegis is acquaintances with the Lawrence Boys now after their, you know, their little...
Mark Marquez is with
Mark
Lawrence
Marquez,
Boys.
All the Hondas.
Well,
yeah.
It's at the same time. It's all November. That's when all that's on, where all the Supercross boys come down.
Might be onto something there, D-Mac.
D-Mac, Kemp-Dub.
Kemp-Dub, sorry.
You've met him. He's got up to 93.
Yeah, I love that guy. They're South Carolina, but he looks American, but not American.
Correct.
Yeah.
It's called Papa. Aprilia is the McLaren of MotoGP. Got dominant right before the regulation change, which we, I guess, saw over the weekend.
Yes. Also, Red Bull was exactly the same in 2021. Didn't get dominant, but finally, the end of that year, regulation change, they finally did it. But then they continued it in 22, which Aprilia might do as well.
Yeah. It's true. They might. Like, we just don't know. Like, everyone's talking fucking Honda. And look, I'm the biggest Honda Nuffy out, but they still need them.
Overrated.
Oh, yeah. You're always against them, mate. Fuck you, mate. At George Dots Wall, Aprilia 3rd, 4th, and 5th in the championship. Pedro and Mark go 1-2. Hot take.
Yeah, too hot for me.
Too hot?
Yeah.
Also adds on, Aprilia aren't the bike everyone thinks they are. They all crumble at a couple of tracks. Now, on this, I cannot wait for Jerez because it's the start of Europe. Everyone knows the tracks. When they're all lining up on the grid, that's like when the big dogs are out. That's when, okay, all the bullshit's done. Europe is where, like, this is where, like, riders win their championships. They win or lose their championships in Europe.
Yep.
And Jerez is, like, iconic track. Most of these guys fighting for the title is Italian or Spanish. There is just so much going on. It's so exciting. And I think, you know, for everyone, if Mark, Pedro, Bez, Rael Fernandez, whoever it is fighting, you know, for race wins, like, Jerez is the track. It's like a barometer. It really is.
Clear your schedule, guys. You know, Jerez, Le Mans, Mugello, Aston, that's where the cream rises to the top. And that is going to be where the most exciting part of this year will be.
Yeah, it's where you see, like, it's where you see guys break away. Either two riders will break away in the championship and just get a string of wins together. We saw Mark do it last year. Got one, like, 10 in a row, whatever fucking crazy it was.
That's where we win the championship.
You know?
You hang on in the flyaways and you dominate. That's a championship.
Yeah,
I mean, how often has that happened?
Man, the amount of times the flyaways pull up a crazy result. Alex Rins in 2019 won Coda.
Mm.
You know, Mark crashed and then just fucking dominated through Europe, you know? Like, that's... like, Jerez for me is, like, where we're going to see where Aprilia are at. Where we're going to see where Mark's at. Where we're going to see Honda's at. Yamaha's going to be at the back. But, like, that's you know, Diogo Moreira, he knows the track. You know, he's been there, he's raced there a billion times. Where is he going to be on the Honda?
Yes. Has Moreira, do you think, has done laps at this new Brazilian track?
Nah, because I don't think so. Okay. Oh,
Circuit de la Ayrton Senna.
Such a good name. It looks like a bigger version of Intergalos. Like a stretched out
into
version.
Carlos. Into Lagos, yeah.
Oh, into Galos. Shows how much I know.
Well, it's the philosophy. It's probably the same track designer. Who knows, you know?
Yeah, I guess so. Mm. It makes sense. It's a good track.
Not that any of the Spanish tracks look the same, but you know. James, would you like paddock access to a MotoGP race this year?
You know I'd love that.
Well, OnTrack Experiences gives you the MotoGP paddock access with MLab Racing, Joel Kelso's new team.
Yep.
This isn't flashy VIP. This is the real deal. None of that fluffy stuff, James, okay? You'll get three-day paddock access, team hospitality in Europe. You'll get a garage tour, rider meet and greet with photo opportunities, plus a service road pass for at least one session.
Mate, I love that. Weekend team guest packages are available for European and flyaway rounds. Or if you're going big, there are platinum season pass for multiple races, Tom. It's your chance to support an Aussie in Moto3 and experience the MotoGP paddock from the inside and not just the grandstands.
Guys, jump on ontrackexperiences.com. Register your interest for the 2026 MotoGP season.
Check them out. Well, yeah. Like, Jerez is such a small, simple track, but like that...
It's history.
That's, for me, is fucking, like, I cannot wait for. Yeah. Coda, I understand, and, like, Brazil, yeah, new track.
Sector 3, Sector 4, last lap.
Oh.
Marquez versus Bezzecchi.
Bro.
Marquez is, you know, chasing down. Poor. That's going to be...
Bagnaia could be back up there.
No, no, that. I'm off him again.
Jorge Martin could be up there.
He'll win. He'll win it. Man. He'll win it, James.
Fucking hurt. He'll win it.
He'll get pole at Jerez.
Cordero, mate. You got pole there last year. You know, like, it's just... That's where the fucking championship starts. Mm. It's where the championship starts. It should... You know what? MotoGP should start in Jerez.
Well, it doesn't work. No, actually... Too cold.
I want it to start in... It used to. Back in a Dizay. But there's a smaller calendar.
Smaller calendar.
Actually, no. I like a Thailand. We go to Thailand. at Willie_Nels. Aprilia become great. Can it afford to pay its riders, especially on a win bonus?
Oh, yeah, but the thing is, the rider will still want to sign for the best team. And then there's always going to be that to and fro.
Yeah.
And if you start winning championship, getting a major sponsor on board, which we know they don't have yet.
Yeah.
That's when, you know, I still don't understand that, because we spoke to the head of marketing at Honda, Harry, Aussie guy, and he still can't believe Aprilia don't have a major sponsor. But do they want a major sponsor? Is their brand Aprilia? They want to advertise Aprilia. They don't want to be a Castrol Aprilia. Mm. So who knows? I mean, I'm sure that they've been offered it. It doesn't make sense that they haven't been. So who knows?
Yeah, it's a good point.
Should have asked Massimo about that.
Yeah, it's a good point.
Yeah.
With branding.
Do they want to be Castrol Aprilia? They just want to be Aprilia. We're trying to sell as many bikes as possible.
Well, yeah.
Sterile Garda Aprilia.
Yeah, the Italian milk, mate. Italian milk.
Targa Aprilia.
But then, like, you do look at, like, a Repsol Honda, where it's like the whole thing is orange and it's Repsol. Or Marlboro, Yamaha back
they're
in the
day. They're just Honda now, though.
Yeah, well, it's a splash of Castrol.
Yeah, but they're not. They're still known as just HRC. They're not Repsol Honda.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly.
Interesting.
Where it's Monster Energy Yamaha.
Lenovo Ducati.
Ducati, which no one ever says. No. The worst fucking main sponsor ever. It's actually such a shit main sponsor.
Yeah, hang on, though. But if you went... You're not going to. But if you're going to go to the laptop store and go, oh, I'm looking at a computer and there was a Lenovo... I'm like, oh, yeah, good brand.
Yeah, but only because, like, I've made it a joke. No, like,
but it would stick in my mind, trust me.
Lenovo was big over on the F1 this weekend as well. I saw a few things. Mm. They must be big motorsport fans over there. It's because I think they're Italian. Mm. Could be so wrong with that. At autocorrect_Pat, this one's for you. It's just an interesting one with F1 and I guess linking it back to, is it actually exciting or is it compared to MotoGP Adelaide Street Circuit? F1 was artificial excitement. No longer a DRS train, now a deployment train. Mm. Poo emoji.
Mm-mm-mm. Yeah, I saw something today. It was like, ladies and gentlemen, start your batteries. the regulation's wrong. It definitely is. But yeah, we haven't really spoken about the racing, James. I mean, the first 20 laps were probably one of the most exciting 20 laps we've seen in an Australian Grand Prix ever. But then it just went back to normal status quo. But yeah, it's the racing's not as good, but that event is not about the racing. It isn't. I'm a bit worried. I'm a bit worried this year for F1. I think, obviously, I think everyone's worried about this new regulations with 50% electric and 50% petrol. But at the end of the day, F1, like MotoGP, are prototypes, and manufacturers use motor racing to then formulate road cars. Mm. And this is what happens over the years. KERS, for instance, with Formula One, it's in every hybrid car now. they're running fully sustainable fuels this year for Formula One. So it's all man-made fuel. That's something that I've always seen the future of road cars going to be. Do they have to make sacrifice in motor racing for the... Who knows? But we know Audi, Ford are in it this year. Two of the biggest motor brands in the world. So
it's a whole different conversation. Yeah, it's like winglets and MotoGP.
Yeah.
You know, they've gone all the way into road bikes and now into fucking learner bikes. Do they even do anything on a learner bike? Probably not. But it's a similar type. It's the same thing. Electronics in bikes, traction control. I remember when a quickshifter first got into a MotoGP bike and now fucking every Tom, Dick and Harry has a quickshifter on their road bike.
Mm.
So yeah, it is. It's a... It's all the prototype stuff that goes into your production. But anyway, it's a whole different fucking thing.
Yeah.
I like this. At frosty.heat, Yamaha fooled us all and is already running 850 engines. They're getting a jump on the testing. I like that.
That would be smart. That would be actually smart if they did that.
I
wonder if that's allowed, James. Probably not. Probably not.
I don't think no one's even focusing on Yamaha. They could fucking roll anything out. They go, oh, let it go. Wouldn't even matter. There's no scrutineering there.
Just tick it off on the bloody clipboard and just...
Oh, it's blue with a fucking green logo on it? Pick it off. Sneaky Japanese, mate. They can sneak up on you.
Yeah, they can.
I.e. Pearl Harbor.
They can.
At Bay Bikes, at the end of the season, they should do a spec series race at Valencia.
Yeah, I like that. Valencia's probably... I think it should be another last race of the season though, but I love that. I love that idea.
Now let's work on this. When should they do it? Mm-hmm. What track? What bikes?
Yeah, I think like first probably Jerez, first European round of the year. I think Jerez is just this. If it's a championship decided, there's too much going on already.
Great call.
No one's gonna want to fucking put anything on the line.
Fuck no.
So I think or the race before the summer break.
Yep. Yeah.
Which is normally
a change, like Bruno or some shit around about there.
Yeah, I think something like that. I think that would be super, super.
How cool. would they get around it for all the different manufacturers?
You'd have to run Kawasaki's.
put them on e-bikes?
Can we go back just one moment about talking about the Japanese manufacturer?
He's
everyone has almost everyone's going great in these new regulations for Formula One, except fucking Honda. The worst engine that's ever been produced in a Formula One car. They couldn't do more than 20 laps on the car.
Yeah.
The like Ferrari, great power unit. Obviously, the Mercedes German, great power unit. Audi have come out, built the fucking first power unit they've ever built, got points, okay? Honda, poor Aston Martin, poor Fernando Alonso, finally gets out of McLaren Honda. McLaren's finally gone to a Mercedes engine. He's out of there. Now he's back in the Honda. The vibrations were so hard on his steering, like they had to box the car.
Like, why did the Japanese, for such an unlazy race, fuck it up?
Dude,
because they're all about working, but how can they have fucked it up so many times?
The head designer of Aston Martin, Andrew Newey, went to the Honda factory and was like gobsmacked how far they were behind. He goes, this is fucked. How are we so far behind? When he knew Ford, who were coming in, you know, and working with Red Bull, were already all over it.
Do you reckon, like, the head of the Honda, like, after that result, just got a sword and just sacrificed himself, like, in World War II?
But they almost need
in dishonor?
But they almost need to go back to that. Like, because it's just complacency and,
are we
like...
Patreon right now?
are we flicked over on that? Oh, yeah. Fuck, okay.
No, keep going.
No, but, like, it's just... There's tunnel vision these guys. I don't know what's going on.
It's fucked. But then...
No, one of the Japanese yen's fucking gone terrible.
That's why all the Aussies are over there now.
Yeah.
But, like, they need to kick up the ass. And then fucking now Honda... We looked into Honda's pits. Bro, there was people everywhere. There was actually a lot of Japanese people there. Obviously from the factory, but like working fucking hard and making results. Yamaha are still dilly-dallying, but like it's... What are they doing? Is it just a European game now or some shit? Is it just the culture's different? I don't understand because that's a fucking great point you make and it's been a shit show for way too long. Even Honda, like HRC, well, Superbikes, nowhere.
Mm.
It's so frustrating. And now you're talking about Formula One, it's still a fucking shit show. Like it's... I don't get it.
Should we flick over to Patreon? You want to save a couple of those hotties for them?
Yeah.
All right.
Let's do it. Thanks.
Thanks everyone. Guys.
Thanks for listening to that. That was a fucking rant. That was a rantful podcast and I loved it.
All right.
Next week, we've got our Brazil preview show. All right. We'll see you on Patreon.
Bye.
Bye.